good morning. This is Cohen Meander and Susan Emerald. And we're glad to be with you this morning. I think I have to some degree fleshed out what the next project is going to be. I got an old fashioned bulletin board service. This was what techno nerds used before there was widespread public access to the internet. When I was a young buck, teenager, I used other people's connection to bulletin board systems. You call them up on your phone, and it was a modem, and you would you'd get on. There was chatting you could do. I wasn't much of a chatter. There was files you can download. I kind of got into the file downloads, and there were games to play, stuff like that. There's programs you could run that allowed a lot of people to run. The only thing you had to do is kind of wait your turn to get to the free phone line. And you would download all your messages. A lot of them featured something akin to email. And you could get your mail that way. And it was something that you could go, you could call, you could bump and run, and then get off. And that was mostly what I did, except for occasionally going up and bringing down files. And it would, that was kind of the stock and trade, was how much time you could spend on the system. You would get credits to spend time on the system. Usually, you would just go up, it was called a quick packet, and it would download all the messages and all the files off of the system. And then when you were offline, you could read the stuff, make replies at your leisure, and then call again to exchange. You would send a quick packet, QWK. I'm sure that stood for something. Usually it was, I don't know. Anyway, in this case, it was for kind of like for quick. It was something that somebody had come up with, and it spread like wildfire. And I don't think there are many of these sorts of things left. I don't think there's a whole lot of them left that could do that. If you have an old DOS computer, hey man, you're in great shape. You can contact these kinds of places. Anyway, so oh, pardon me. So, first I put this thing up. This has been a fetish, an obsession for trying to get a better sounding word for me since I touched bulletin board systems. Probably first back in 1979, which was really quite early in the thing. There weren't very many around. I had a friend, Don Kaplan, who was an engineer at Texas Instruments. And he had hobbled together a lot of computer himself and had rigged it. It was the first computer I had really touched. And after I started doing that, I wanted to get a hold of a computer. I used to get the Heathkit catalogs. Heathkit was a an early purveyor of either computers or kit computers. They had the H89, which ultimately could run the operating system of the day, which was called CPM, the control program for it was first called a control program monitor, but then it became a control program for microprocessors. And it was one of its great functions was it was a disk operating system. The wonderful day was when there were microcomputers that people could actually own of their own. At first, storage was by cassette. It would emit sounds and it would listen for sounds, and you would have a tape recorder to record the sounds and play them back so you could load software. It was really cheap, so that was really good that way for just regular old schlubs like me, kids like me, who didn't need to be spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars doing things. Anyway, so I played around with that for a while. I did some program. Oh no, I got a TI-994 and I did some programming. And I was always trying to get to the point to where I could run my own bulletin board system. And I tell you, the TI-994 was probably one of the worst computers to try to run a bulletin board, a dial-in bulletin board system that you could get. It was really made to be kind of a consumer, not very expandable item. The difference between open source, which is where people know how to make things work, and closed source, where a company kind of holds on to control of what the computer can do. TI-994s tended to be more closed source. Of course, you know, but there was a BASIC that ran on it because that was what all of the computers back then had. They all came with a version of BASIC. None of them were compatible with each other. You couldn't take programs you wrote in one version and take them immediately over to another one. You'd have to translate them. But you would do that. I got a book of computer games from another friend of mine. I forget his name now. And, I think it was on loan to me, and I might have, I think I got it back to him ultimately. I have copies of both of them. You know, there was an early one, then a later one. He had a copy of kind of volume 2, and I used that one. And it had more exotic games on it. And I put a few of them, I translated a few of them to be able to work on the TI computer. Light programmer in the day. Although I spent a lot of time on it, most of my free time, that's what I would do. So I'll tell you, I was on the internet, Well, no, I can't say that. I used bulletin boards a little bit, didn't really get into it. There were certain aspects of it that really interested people. There was this thing called ANSI art. It was kind of a follow-on from old teletype art. People would send teletype messages to each other. It was kind of something you would do. People who had access to computers, usually through their work or through a university often. I'm actually reading a book called Hackers by Stephen Levy, who documented a little influential slice of this, even though. Anyway, so anyway, I'm sorry, I'm going through this whole story and it's not necessary. So what I'm wanting to do is I'm wanting to put together an experience that people can get on. It's a little bit of a BBS experience, and this isn't bad. It's kind of constrained so that it was made for individuals as opposed to groups giving a computational experience that other people could be a part of. Of course, now everybody has a good connection to the internet, and that's wonderful. My thing gives you the opportunity to have these experiences without so much, without having to get big corporations involved to make this, you know, people go, well, why do I go to your bulletin board system? Because I have Facebook, and Facebook, you know, among many things, has subsumed what a bulletin board system once did. Now, it doesn't do the only thing. Most people don't want to do trading programs because they honestly don't do much on a computer besides work on the internet. I gotta say, it's true of me. I have a Chromebook, and a Chromebook is by and large this kind of a thing. That, you know, all you do is you go on to the internet and you access services out there on the internet. And, you know, it's become a small pile of different services that you would use, and your interface to it is a web browser. These guys with the Synchronet BBS that I finally put up and I finally started using, you know, for a long time there, I just said, ah, screw it. Said, I don't need to. This isn't interesting to a soul. And you'd walk away. You know, there's some people that did it because they were hoping to make some money at it. Some bulletin board systems got kind of into pay to play, but most people did it as kind of a hobby. It was kind of off to the side, kind of, what am I trying to say? You know, I don't know for sure. Anyway, what an interest to, have an interesting place where people can come to access the gospel of Jesus Christ. Put up there so people can get a hold of it, have the files attached to it. There's plenty of those. All around the idea of interesting, yet another group of people with preparing for exaltation. which is something you qualify for, something a priest can do. So this is definitely kind of a priestly act. I like it because of my priest background. And so I'm wanting to morph this place, these files, back into a situation where one can touch God. You know, the most important thing is to find that place where you can feel the Spirit, to set up the conditions around you where you can touch the Spirit. That the Spirit can touch you and you can understand it and you can proceed in your life having that thing, it's not really a puzzle piece, but having that conduit. Good things happen to you when you do that conduit. Anyway, so I kind of wonder sometimes if the obsessions / fetishes that we have are not tied to something that we hope to do. And to be honest, if it is a useful thing for a handful of people, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. So I think that is going to give good purpose to what I've been doing. I've been circling around it. This kind of subsumes everything I've ever done, like programming. It has a web presence, so it's not hard for you to kind of advertise it, which is what a lot of this is about. You would advertise to get people to come to your site, and it would become a thing. The place where I live, Tucumcari, New Mexico, has been wiped of its larger purpose. Let me tell you, you know, a new truck stop is just opened like yesterday. It's 19. So we now have 1, 2, 3 truck stops and some convenience stores. We have a grocery store. We have a couple of hardware places, and that's what we've basically got. And it hasn't blown away yet. I don't think it's going to blow away because it's got these things. It gets most of its stock and trade. You know, it would start as a railroad town, and most of its stock and trade left, and now it's just this thing. It's just this thing. So, the place can pretty much become whatever you want it to be for yourself. You know, and so many places have become really generic, and that's really sad. I've always viewed Tucumcari as the gateway, one of the gateways to Zion. a place of introduction to the idea of Zion, a safe, wonderful place for the people of God, the people who commit themselves to God. So Tucumcari could stand as one of these gates. My turn here is coming up. I need not to miss it. And that this thing can be something of an electronic gateway to it. There is a public part of it, and then there is a deeper part of it, more of kind of a Zion part of it. Or this is what I'm going to be working for. If nothing else, I am going to be part of building, or I'm going to build a gateway to electronic Zion. And, that's really interesting to me. So, and this stuff is still kind of formulating in my mind. So when I'm saying this, it's like, well, how much they thought about this? And you go, not very much, because it's just coming to me slowly. An electrical, an electronic manifestation of information aids, helps toward Zion. All these tools are electronic tools. These things, computers are electronic tools, as they've always been to me, to try to accomplish something. And so, I'm working that. Gotta make sure I got my stuff for getting in the gate, getting to work. One of the big problems is that through firewalls, you often can't get to this stuff. So, but there are parts of the system that you can get to, given access. I need to get more conscious of that so that I can set up these sorts of things. I did my amateur radio call sign for the software, for what it's going to be. And, this is good, a preparation for these things. I don't know how much more I want to talk about it in that, and this is just kind of an introduction to it. I kind of like it. The Tucumcari is a gateway to Zion. And all roads kind of flow to Zion, and Tucumcari is along one of those roads. It's a major road. You have to get on another road to get to where Zion is going to be, but it certainly is that way, to be able to help travelers along the way. And that's really what Tucumcari, the city, what's left of the city, has become. It's not a tourist location. It is a traveler's location. You travel here. And it helps you along your way to where you're trying to get to. And that's our basic function, is that you need to be moving, along a path. You're going somewhere, you need to be helped along in that way. And that's what Tucumcari is about, and that is what this bulletin board system going to be about, is getting to the place where we have help people understand what they need to know. You know, I there's kind of the telestial world, and everybody can tussle and fight down here. In some things, Satan says this is his world. He is the god of the telestial world. So a lot of people who are into Satan sorts of things, I don't know if money figures into Satan sorts of things. A lot of people think it's filthy lucre, but it's also one of the ways that God blesses people, so that you use those resources that you're given to help other people or to help others down the road. It really isn't a question of money so much, although it's good to have the resources to be more helpful. That's what comes. It really doesn't come from being rich. I think that's why Jacob says what he says. Jacob, the brother of Nephi, the son of Lehi, in the Book of Mormon. He talks about money, you know, and he doesn't say that money's bad, but he says that God will bless you with these resources so that you can bless the lives of other people. And that's really interesting to me. Being enabled to do this. So I'm gonna go ahead and what am I gonna do here? I don't know. I'm gonna I think I'm gonna go ahead and stop this recording. I think I've said about as much as I need to say publicly on this one. A lot more is the planning, and that doesn't go into Cohen Meander. But this is Jason Nemro. Working on the larger project. I've got this game together. It's a good game, but I want to transfer it over to this other service. I think it'll still predominantly work the same way as it has been, but I'm going to run it. I don't know if I'm going to rewrite it. Yeah, I'm going to rewrite it because I have to run an entirely different server, a PHP server, just to make it work. Or, you know, I don't know. I'm having so much fun trying to get this all to work on this little bitty computer that I bought. Anyway, so there is that. So I'm going to let you go. This has been Jason Nemro. You're listening to Cohen Meander. I'll put a name on this at some point. Probably call it Electronic Gateways to Things. And so we'll talk to you later. Bye.